This lesson, Life Lift, and we're in a section now where we're dealing with God's will, God's way, and God's word. That's how God's word is the only way you know his will.
That's right.
That through the word of God. So if it don't match up, that's simple, y'all. It's just a match game.
Yeah.
If it don't match up with what the word of God says, then you can toss it out. It's no good. It's no good.
Brother teacher, I got special revelation, though it's not in the word.
Well, you keep that. It was for you. It was for you. You keep that. You live by it. Don't you repeat it. And whatever you do, don't say God said. Whatever you do, don't say God said. He warned them about that. He said a proper sign talking about God told them, and I ain't said a word. He said, I ain't said a word. Got to come out the word. He will not go against his word, y'all.
Amen.
Page 77 is where we're going to pick up, y'all. But before we pick up, bow your heads, we have a word of prayer.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father.
Teach
us this morning, Lord. Well, of course, you know all things, Father. You're a sovereign God. You know the type of weak is being here in our society, in our culture. So much disarray, so much confusion, Father. Everybody running and wondering, what are we going to do? Well, we know, Lord. We know what we're going to do. We're going to trust you. We're going to lean and depend upon you, Lord. So right now, Father, we've assembled to hear a word from you. Lord, help me this morning, Father. Decrease me. Increase your Holy Spirit within me, Lord. Lord, I need you. I need the gift of teaching, Father. Father, then you get all the glory, Father. You're the only one worthy. Father, and we'll be so mindful to praise your holy and righteous name. Lord, grant the ones who are on their way safe passage, Father. Bring them here with the right spirit, the right mind, Lord, to praise and worship you. To hear a word from you, Father, to line up in your will. Lord, we'll be so mindful to give you the praise and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Page 77, y'all. Here we go. It says, God's will continue to be a subject of wonder for some, mystery for others, but importance for all. LifeLift offers an avenue to assist a person in better discerning God's will and way. While the discovery of one's spiritual gift does not guarantee that a person will be operating in God's will, the proper exercise of one's spiritual gift does place one in the realm of God's way. His purpose. His purpose, y'all. Think about it. God's way. The work of Henry Blackaby regarding experiencing God has already been cited. The seven realities of experiencing God's purposes by Blackaby have become standard acknowledgments for many growing believers who have committed themselves to the pursuit of God's purposeful way. The five essential actions for Christians determined to follow God's directions, and this derived from those realities, are expressed in chapter 8. And to review that, number one, it says a believer must acknowledge that God is at work deliberately and purposefully in the world. In the world. So the stuff we see in happening now, God know all about it. He knows all about it, y'all. He's aware of it. He's not wondering what he's not putting his plan together. See, God has something that none of us will ever have, and that's called foreknowledge. He already knows. He already knows the ending from the beginning, y'all, and everything in between. So he's not wondering, what are we going to do now that the presidency has changed and all this, or may change. We still don't know yet. That is that much confusion going on. We're a week past this and we still don't know. So that's confusion, y'all. That's confusion. So, but God knows. God knows. Number two, a believer must adjust his own plans and pursuits in order to align with God's plan and purposes. You can't take your plans and mix them with God's plans and shape them where they come together and expect them to be blessed by God. You got to scrap your plans. You have no more plans. I told y'all I ain't figured out what I like yet. I don't know, because it don't matter. It don't matter. God, what is it that you want?
Your will
be done. And every believer, that's the way they got to see it. Everything you own is God's. You own nothing. You're a steward over God's stuff. And when you treat it as such, watch how he blesses.
It's just like putting a puzzle together. When we was young, we used to buy, get a puzzle,
Yeah.
You put them together, you can get a piece and it almost looks
identical. Absolutely, bro. That's right. That's right. But brother, if the maker and designer of that puzzle sit down, he don't have no problem putting it together. He don't have a problem putting it together, do it. He can put it right together. All right. Same concept. Number three. A believer must accept the fact that a crisis or crises of belief will come at various times. It ain't going to always be smooth sailing. If it's not tested, if it's not proven, the Bible calls it proven. Proving your faith. Proving it to who, God?
No.
Proving it to you. Proving your faith to you. Number four, a believer must affirm God's will according to the revelation given in God's word. Bingo. There it is. Must affirm God's will. Okay, if you're wondering if this is the will of God, check his word. It will not, God will not go against his word. Huh? Can't stand. Will not stand. If it's the Holy Spirit of God that's revealing this to you, then it has to line up with what the word of God says. Wow. Number five. A believer must apply God's wisdom by continual interaction with God and with other believers. So why we got so many private Christians nowadays? I don't mess with other folks. It's just me and the Lord. It's just me and the Lord. You don't want nobody to tell you you're wrong. That's all that is. You can't take constructive criticism even if it's true. We should always be able to accept the truth, whether it be about us or about anyone else or what. We should always be able to accept the truth for truth. You know, not rumor, not innuendo, not anybody's opinion, but the truth. Right. And the truth only comes from God. So we can accept that with open arms.
Amen.
And if we don't fully believe it, we need to go to the Lord and ask him to help us. Even the disciples, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. So we have to do the same thing sometimes. He will test our faith, and he'll push us to the limit. But see, I don't have to worry about that because it's not me who's keeping me anyway.
That's right. Amen.
I just lay it on him.
That's right.
He's not going to defeat. He can't be defeated, number one. But he's not going to go against himself.
That's right. Amen.
We got to just trust God. Pastor said it on the podcast all the time. We must trust God. We have to.
Amen.
The quest to find. What'd you say, sister? That's right. That's freedom. That's freedom. Trusting and believing in God. The quest to find, we're on page 77. The quest to find God's will should resist all attempts to reduce the process to a quick fix formula. There is no quick fix formula. It's just God's way. It's just God's way. Do it God's way, whether it's quick, long, whatever it is, do it God's way. That's the only formula that's going to work. There are some areas where one can be sure of God's will because of the specific statements expressed in God's word.
Okay.
When God said, thou shalt not, that's plain as day. That means you can't do it. Whatever comes behind that, that means you can't do that. It's period. So we don't have to pray and ask God, God, can I know I'm married, but this girl at the office, we just want to go out to lunch. God, can it's never that. You know, the devil's so subtle. He says he's subtler than any other creature God ever created. So we know that it starts that way. Everything starts that way. He's subtle. And next thing you know, you ain't coming home. You like the old boy on Harlem Nights. He called his wife and said, baby, this rich, I ain't never coming home. It builds to that. Sin progresses. It progresses. It always progresses. The only thing you can do with sin is kill it. Cut it off. If you linger, if you play with it, it's going to overtake you. Period. It has everybody else who's ever indulged. What makes you any different? Or me any different? Sin does the same thing to all of us if we play with it. I just say each of those deserve to be studied and applied in a person's life. Such activity places a person in the posture of obedience. The posture of obedience to the direct and clear instructions of God is required for any person who truly desires to please God. The posture of obedience. You can't follow God and not obey Him. No way. That sounds crazy. You can't follow Him, the leader, the one who gives us instructions on what to do. How can we not obey Him and still call ourselves following God? It don't work, people. Don't let nobody flim-flam you that's what they're doing or even that's what you can do. You ain't got to do all that. I know the Bible said, but you ain't got to do. Now you following somebody else's instructions. You've gotten away from what God said you must do or are to do, and now you're following someone else. So don't be flim-flam. Any assumption that a person can continue in a posture of disobedience and still be in a position to discover and know God's will is an unwarranted assumption. In fact, the bottom line of knowing God's will focuses upon the personal relationship an individual enjoys with God. Huh? You can't enjoy the relationship if you're in disobedience. Because there's a whole bunch of punishment and quietness going because God is not speaking to you and you wallowing in your sin. You ain't hearing from God. That's number one. And if you're hearing from Him, you're getting a whooping. And ain't nothing fun about whooping. Nothing. You can't enjoy no whooping and you in disobedience with God. Come on, sister.
I hear so many Christians. And I get calls sometimes from a lot of different ones that have come from the different shelters. They have my number. Okay, right. And they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And when I get off the phone, I realize something. Mm-hmm. They have never given themselves away to the Lord. Okay. They have been straddled the fence. Okay. Then they wonder why they don't have joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not complete. Yeah. Yeah. And they have questions about life that they should have overcome. Sure. And I see that in a lot of Christendom where Christians are just so needy of things from the world until they have, and this is church folks.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to be politically correct. But it's sad. And when I talk to young ladies, and I talk to them, and they'll say something, you can hear God saying they got one foot on the curb, they got one foot in the kingdom, all they waiting for is something to come along. Then they run and they fall again and they run and they fall again. But if you really enjoy the Lord, you love Him, you got joy all the time.
That's right.
Now, I got a problem with Christians who got certain joy at certain times. I'm selfish. I enjoy my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And I worry about people infringing on His time. So ain't no lonesome. No loneliness.
And I know that's right.
And I know it can happen. You can really have a real relationship. But most people in the church don't.
Yeah.
They're always looking. My daddy used to call it long eyes. You always want something.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants you to be complete in Him.
That's right. That's right. That joy, people, that joy only comes with total surrender. When you're totally surrendered, you get that joy. See, and if it's fleeting, if it's depending on your circumstances or situations, that's not the joy of the Lord. That's not the joy of the Lord because it goes nowhere. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. Matter of fact, the rougher it gets, the closer you crawl up to Him. And the more He show you that you're okay, just stand. Just hang in there. I'm fighting this fight. I'm fighting this fight. You just stand, people.
Amen.
All right, the last paragraph on 77, y'all. While various indicators can be extremely helpful in discovery and discernment, in specific timing and fine-tuning, the indicators must ultimately be aligned with one basic fact. God loves people, and God desires to relate to people in close intimacy. Now, if you're trying to deal with God by looking at somebody else's walk, you'll never experience it. You got to have it for yourself. It's a personal thing. God desires to deal with you, not deal with you through anyone else. Deal personally with you. Christ is the only one, the man that stands between God and man. So if it's not Christ, you just blowing against the wind, y'all.
Amen.
Said this fundamental fact provides the sincere seeker with a wonderfully accurate filter through which he or she should pass any life choices. Any. Lord, should I go? Should I stay? Lord, should I do this? Any. In all thy ways.
Thank you, Lord.
That covers everything. There's nothing too small or too big for this God we're talking about, y'all. It's all got to go by him anyway. He wants you to acknowledge that it's got to go by him. He already knows it. He knows it, people. One could ask, will this decision draw me closer to God and bring him glory, or will this decision hinder the closeness of my relationship to God? That's a good question, y'all. That's a good question. And be honest when you ask that question. I don't care how bad you want whatever it is you know you're not supposed to have. Just be honest about it and respond accordingly. And you'll see growth in yourself and in your relationship with the Lord. Areas of caution. Areas of caution. Church, areas of caution. We have those in the body of Christ. Areas that we should be aware of, that we should use discernment when we encounter them. Let's look at them. I said, first of all, believers in a self-disclosing God who reveals himself as a loving father need to be cautious about seeking signs from God. That's a big one. That's a big one. How can you just believe him because he said it, but you got to see a sign? Huh? He wants you to believe it because he said it. And he's giving you all the evidence you'll ever need. Look at the Bible. Everything he said, it was prophesied thousands of years in advance. Then it happened all the way down to the day. To the day. He named people. He named pagan kings thousands of years before they ever came on the scene. How can you not see it? How can you fall for man wrote this? How can you do that? It's an impossibility, y'all.
We gonna continue to be just like his people, the Israelites, when they were out in the desert,
in the wilderness,
in the wilderness, and they kept wanting a sign, and he kept showing them, and they still wanted something else, and then he'd give them what they asked for, but it was never enough.
It's always going to be the next thing. If signs is what move you, you're going to always need the next sign.
There's always the danger of the enemy giving you a sign.
Okay. Okay, come on, Pastor. That's good. That's good. That's good. All the way down to the witch of Endor. Huh? Recreated Samuel, his prophet, a witch. Come on now. We need to leave them signs alone, y'all. Just believe God. Just believe God. One of the big ones, especially in our church, is the speaking in tongues. That have turned a lot of people off because we promoted that as a sign of your salvation for a long time. And that's not true, y'all. That's not true. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You know, don't let nobody flim you. Because that's what that is. It's a flim-flam, y'all. I said this is not to say that God cannot use a burning bush if he desires to do so. He did use a burning bush, a rod that budded. A shepherd boy who slew a giant, a flaming chariot, water turned into wine, a blind man made to see, a lame man made to walk, cloven tongues of fire, and countless more indicators of his remarkable and powerful reality. People, God was coming on the scene, proving his power at that time. These are not those days, y'all. These are not those days. We're 2,000 plus years into this thing. The straight faith run. You got to believe. Without faith is impossible. So we know that to please God, he wants us to just believe. All right, Gideon. Act of searching in Judges 6 is sometimes cited as a precedent for putting out a fleece. However, Jesus clearly indicated that sign seeking may reveal a deeper problem in a person's life. What it revealed? An unwillingness to take God at his word. At his word, y'all. And to trust God totally and submissively. You know, you hear a lot of people, I've heard pastors say they had to put down a fleece to, you know, and God may, he may honor that. He may do that, but that still shows a lack of your faith. If it's what God said, it's not the rule. That's right. It's not the rule. I'm not saying it's sinful to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But why can't we just believe God? Just believe him. Believe him. And a lot of people, the problem they have is they're not sure if that's God's voice. But you can't mistake it. When you have a relationship with the Lord and you're in communication with him often, you're not going to mistake his voice for anything else. Okay. All right. Makes sense, don't it? Makes sense, don't it? Matthew 12:38-39 say, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. We know how Jonah, how disobedient Jonah was in the start of this thing. We can learn if we'll just believe the book, if we'll believe the Bible. We can save ourselves from going through a lot of things if we just believe the Bible. Believe God's word.
Accident, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, I can look at that as a sign from God. So they didn't give us a sign.
His grace was there then, you know, and see, that's the first thing we do when things happen or come about in our life. It'd be a good rule of thumb. That's, Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? What is it you're trying to show me here? Because if he spared you, because he didn't have to. Y'all, God don't forget or anything, but just 5 seconds of not remember to let Milton breathe, it's over for you. It's over for you. Amen. That's what I'm saying. But we talking about a God who sustain us in all ways, y'all, and everything. Why wouldn't we? Why do we have to have a sign? The sign is I'm standing up here breathing and talking. That's enough sign that God is God for me. they'll tell you it's karma. They'll tell you it's anything rather than the say. Lucky, yeah, that's what it was. You were just lucky, boy. Wow. Second, now page 78, y'all. Second, believers ought to be cautious about giving God direction. God, if you do this, then I'll. Is that what you got for God? Give it to me. I take it. God, whatever it is, give it to me. That's blessed. For God to even deal with us sinners, dirty, low down, it's blessing for him to even want to have anything to do with us. And we trying to bargain with him. See, they take the scripture out of context a lot of times. They say, well, since he listened to Abraham about Lot and Sodom, you can, it is a relationship. You can talk to God. You can petition him for things. We're not saying that there's something wrong with that. But if God tells you something or gives you a mandate, a command, just do it. Just do it. Period. Come on, Chucky.
Well, I was scared to even ask something like that. Lord, you do this, I'll do that. Is your will be done? I ask, you know, well, is your will be done? But if you do this, I'm scared even.
You should be.
I don't know what kind of people.
All that says you got good sense, bro. God should be feared. He should be reverenced in that way. You know, because if he told me to do it, if he said to me, I know it's for my good. Amen. Why would I question him? Okay. Don't matter what it look like. Amen. Come on, bro.
Well, I want you to do this, God, and do that. Hey, he don't even listen to you.
Well, if we have a relationship with God, we can always go to him. We can go to him in prayer. You know, with prayer, that's how we communicate with God, through prayer. You know, Jesus did plainly say that some of these things don't come out but by fasting. And that we talking about spiritual warfare when you get into that. But we can always petition our Father, you know, for what it is we may want. Now, that don't mean he's going to always give it to us. But we can always petition him. And then, like Chucky said, at the end of every prayer, she'll be, Lord, but your will be done. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. 7-8, y'all said, while most seekers now deep within that God is God and that only God can be God, while most seekers know deep within that God is God and that only God can be God, sometimes people inherently attempt a gentle takeover of God's authority of leadership. They'll do it. We'll do it. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. We think we're so high up on God's list of important people, and God don't have such a list.
That's right. He don't
have such a list, y'all. We'll get up there, and sometimes he has to knock us down to show us that. But we have to be careful with those things. After some brief personality study and analysis, added to a superficial survey of circumstances and situations, along with a genuine feeling of and desire to serve God, some have quickly declared this or that must be the will of God. Unfortunately, sometimes God and the opportunity for God to speak to an individual is omitted from the process. That happens sometimes, y'all. And it is, like the lesson says, it's an unfortunate situation when that happens. Said the tragic result of such a short-circuited procedure ranges from disappointment to discouragement to disillusionment. Wow. More than a few well-meaning Christians who sincerely want to be an instrument fitted for use by God have become victims of a nearsighted and narrowly limited approach. Such initial zeal probably needs mature counsel and help from well-informed, spiritually sensitive, biblically grounded church leaders. Church leadership is so important, y'all. So important. We need leaders in the church. I mean, in the body of Christ, the entire church, that watch for the soul of the sheep. That truly watch for the souls of the sheep. You know, it ain't about the image you have in this society that's going to burn up. It ain't about any of that. It's about watching for the souls of the sheep, because that leader got to give account for that flock. You know, come on, bro.
That's why so many of our Christian brothers and sisters have been misled. You know, because first of all, you got to be born again.
That's it.
And then
that's
to it. Have a personal relationship with the Lord, you got to spend some time.
That's right, bro.
You got to spend
right.
some time in His Word.
That's it.
And so many of our people, like Pastor, a lot of time they won't read.
No.
They won't study for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take firsthand mm-hmm. what in and everybody say,
mm-hmm.
and not mm-hmm. knowing, they'll accept it.
That's right, bro.
You know, but you got to study for yourself.
You got to. Chew
to
on
show
that.
Yourself
That's
approved.
Right.
If you want a personal relationship with
That's
it.
True. That's
you
right.
You know, my wife got her own, I got my own.
That's right.
That's why I like spending the quiet time with the Lord.
That's
like
right.
Like I said, when it's time to minister, whatever, late at night, early in the morning, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I don't hear nothing but
okay.
Him.
Okay, that's it. That's
don't
all you want to hear.
Chirping.
That's it.
So you gotta go to the Lord. Be there.
Okay.
Study. Learn what He said.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
be
it.
Obedient in it. And continue in it.
That's it, brother.
Continue.
Listen, the church has dropped the ball, has fumbled the ball on discipleship so badly. We have put so many other things ahead of discipleship. Program, traditions, field trips. All this different stuff, and I'm not saying that stuff is bad in and of itself, but if it comes before what Jesus said to do in the commission, then the order is real messed up, y'all. It's really messed up. We're seeing a lack of discipleship. Now, that's why people can be misled by the thousands and tens of thousands like we're seeing today, because of a lack of discipleship. Now, we can always say that, yeah, they don't read and study for themselves, and they don't, and that's a travesty.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing. We should all be checks and balances for one another.
Amen.
We should all know enough of God's word to be checks and balances for one another. The pastor included. All of us. We should be able to, hey, oh, that don't. That's an error. Because error will poison a congregation.
No reading at all, probably. I think I went to church a few, but it was just certain things I couldn't do and I wouldn't do. And now I know why, but then I didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if I believe you, if you start, like I said, you start a child up young, and those things was instilled in me.
Oh, yeah.
I may not have read, but it was just something in me telling me, hey, I wasn't supposed to be at the club trying to do this or that. And what you say?
That thou shalt not. You knew that. That foundation was set. See, if there's a foundation, and then even with the foundation, you still got to have the grace of God. You got to have the grace of God with that foundation, because it's still not just guaranteed that those things won't happen, that those things won't come in and you won't drift off into that. You know, the parable teaches us plainly the prodigal son. He went way down in the hog pen, and you know his foundation was solid. But he went way down, and it wasn't nothing but the grace of God that brought him back. We lose a lot of believers in the hog pen, y'all. In the hog pen. And that's a sad thing. A lack of discipleship is a big part of that, too. Come on, my bro.
You know, I can go back years back. I was hard-headed. My mom told me, said, when you get to church, you stay there. Now, I wanted to go across the street to the store.
Get some candy then.
Went across that highway, a big truck just blowed their horn.
Like the Ranyo.
And next thing I know, I was running across the street. My auntie them got me and tore my behind up. I said, that'll never happen again.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's right. Disobedience. It's just God's grace when we children that keep us, you know, when we don't do what we should be doing. And when we're grown, it's God's grace that keep us when we're not doing what we should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, oh, you think you didn't get caught tipping out on your husband or wife, but when your blood work come back 4 or 5 years later with some stuff that don't supposed to be in there, then you realize I didn't get away. I didn't get away. They left something with me. My wife or my husband might not have caught me, but I've been caught. And it don't have to happen like that. The spiritual side of it is enough to really just run you the other way. Miss Rosa, come on.
Funny now. And I thought about it as you were saying that. I remember many years ago, I had some single friend girls, and my husband and I wasn't getting along that well. So they called me one Sunday. I've come from church. Well, why don't we just go out? You need to get out sometime and have a drink. So he was there, knocked out from alcohol. I have on my little Sunday outfit. I get to the club with them. I'm sitting there, and I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but the Lord said, look at you. You don't even belong here. You ain't even dressed right. The people were bringing drinks to the table to them, and I looked at the sweater I had on and the long skirt I had on. Then a guy who I had dated before I got married, I broke up with him because he wouldn't stay out of the club. But God spoke. He can speak through anybody. He walked over and looked at me. And his name, well, I ain't going to tell you his name. Anyway, he shook his head. He said, what you doing here? I told him, I'm asking myself the same thing. I said, when God get me out of here, I said, I felt like everybody in the club was taking pictures of me and laughing at me.
Yeah,
I was so ashamed. I sweated. When I got out of there, I never went back. And the Lord said, see, you listen to them worldly women try to make you get even. You got home, your husband still asleep.
He don't even know you've been nowhere.
But I have beat you up.
I thought
that was just funny when I thought about
that. That's right.
But he convicted me. I don't even know the name of the club, but I thank God that the guy was there. God said, he saw so much in you. You done got on him. You wouldn't date him.
Mm-hmm.
You sitting up there. He walked over with a drink in his hand and looked at me. What you doing here?
You acquit me for doing this.
You're talking about conviction, Rose. I was on the club, too, and I had just got saved. Went with some friends. And when I was sitting there, it was like a picture screen came up. And everybody walked in and looked like me. And I'm like, Lord, do I look like that? And I got up from there, and I told little women, I said, y'all take me home now. And I will not be back in here. I mean, that was the most awfulest feel. I don't know the name of the club either, but I know I had to leave there.
Well, see,
I didn't care what they said about me.
I know. You don't care. You don't care at that time. And the beauty about that, to recognize that it's God speaking to you, even in those situations. You know, I've been around, God, even when the Lord, before the Lord was working with me, we sit around and brag about our wretched escapades, you know. And the last time I was in that crowd and they went to talk about, y'all remember Green did? I was so ashamed. I tried to crawl in my pocket. I was like, man, Lord, have mercy. I did that. You know, I knew I did it, but it looked different. It was just all different. I said, yes, Lord, it's time to go. Yeah, come out from among them and be ye separate. I understand it. I understand. It's not the same. The things that had you braggadocious had you so ashamed. It had you so ashamed. And that's what God wants. He wants you to respond accordingly when he show you that. When he speak through other people like that, he wants you to hear him. It wasn't that man. Now, that wasn't God's drink he walked to that table with. But that wasn't him. That was the Lord through the Holy Spirit showing you something and telling you something. And apparently it got the job done. Because years later, we testifying about these things now. So, praise God. Oh, man. Absolutely.
Up in there.
She left me.
I left him on the dance. I was in the kitchen. I left him on the dance floor.
Look at that.
And we got out of there.
Yeah, that's what you do. See, it be time, man. God's mercy, he be all over you with this. I've told people about this. Even when I was much younger, boy, I didn't know nothing about the Lord. That's when they first started this drive-by stuff in the city of Birmingham. We were at the Civic Center downtown leaving an old, wretched, nasty rap concert. I'm standing here. Young lady standing on this side of me and that side. A lot of people standing out here. Guys come right down the street shooting out the window. The person on this side of me got hit. The person on this side of me got hit. Did not touch me. I couldn't run. I froze. Because they shooting right here. I didn't run. I didn't move. And both of the people on the side of me got shot. Didn't get a scratch. And you know, first thing I said, these blanks can't kill me. They weren't shooting at me. It wasn't directed at me, but they weren't shooting at nobody. They were shooting in a crowd, really. Instead of thank you, Lord. Who tell me him? But he knew this day was coming. I had to be here for this, y'all. I had to be here for this. And that's what it's all about. I thank him right, Lord. Thank you now. I thank him right now because there is no reason any of us should be here. Any of us. Not just me. It might not have been as drastic as that, but any of us. We have to depend on people following a line in the road every day. Stay on your side of the line in the road every single day. Our lives depend on it. You don't think we should have faith in something more than just this person over here staying on his side of the line? Come on, John.
You know, I can go back years ago when I was a little kid. Mama told you, said, when you get there at church, you stay there. And we run across the street, go to the store, and this was over in Smithfield. And them big trucks just
come
down the road. I had dropped something in the middle of the street, and a big truck was coming. I thank God today.
He took care of it.
If I would have stayed in there trying to get my money up, I'd have been
dead right now.
But
today.
I thank him. He was there for me.
The grace of God, John. The grace of God. All right, now, we're at the bottom, almost at the bottom of 7-8, y'all. It said, whether the seeker sought counsel or perhaps having sought the counsel, refused it. The difficulty remains. The situation accentuates the vital place of the body of Christ, which is the church, a living organism composed of interdependent persons, together but separate, interdependent person to whom and through whom God speaks. But if I don't let the devil trick me to stay in the bed this morning, and God got somebody here with a word for me, do I just, you see what I'm saying? But his word said, don't forsake the assembly. See, so disobedience, we don't know where it leads. We don't know where it leads because we don't know what God has in store for us. All we can do is obey him and trust him. You have to trust and obey him.
He'll make a way for us to hear. I'll bring you a CD and you'll get it.
Absolutely. God is God. You're right. God is God. He can do whatever he want to do. And our choice is not going toward his plan. Not going toward his plan, y'all. That's true. That's good. He will. He will. He'll send a pagan to your house with a word for you. That's right. That's right. And a chicken that spoke to Peter, a rooster.
And I don't want this tape. I'm gonna throw this thing out on the ground, and Tyra will come right by, throw it in her window.
Hey, you remember they were dumping the tapes here at one of our locations. I told Pastor, don't worry about it. The man at the dump. Pastor, the Lord might have a man at the dump that need to get these. So if we just do what he tell us to do, y'all, his word going to be done. All right, third, we're at the bottom now. Believers ought to be cautious about observation of open doors and closed doors. While it is true that God opens and closes doors, when one focuses an inordinate amount of attention on such indicators, the element of personal subjectivity can often become a dominant factor. In such cases, circumstances and situations can be far too prominent for dictating decisions and directions. Sometimes in a subconscious manner and sometimes in a conscious manner. Wow. Personal manipulation of events and endeavors occur. The result of an overemphasis upon circumstantial factors declared to be God's will may place one in a position outside rather than inside God's perfect plan for an individual. We can mess it up, y'all. We can mess it up by us putting too much into what God has said, or what God, we trying to decipher God's plan instead of just obeying it.
That's right.
You know, you have so many people where I know this, and we have some great scholars who missed the mark in certain areas. That's why God said, I'm going to teach you all things. He sends the Holy Spirit to keep us away from error, y'all.
That's right.
And that's period point blank. I mean, great men with great intentions.
Oh, yeah.
Have put some erroneous teachings out there that have stuck for a long time.
Right. And if we keep at the forefront of our minds and hearts that we are made to glorify God. So now anything else happens, I'm going to say, does this glorify God?
All right.
I'm going to test everything
That's right. That's right. The wise man said at the end of his letter that that's the whole sum of man. That's the whole sum of man. You wondering, we still trying to figure out why we here. God, why you made me? Read the book. To glorify him. It's not hard. But that's just, that don't seem to be enough for us. We want to do something else. A little more. A little more. Lord, put my name on the help you create list. Tell folk I helped you do something. We trying to get some glory, and he already told us he will not. He will not share his glory with another. He put it that way, with another. That means another nothing. Another, not a tree, not a flower, not a you, not a me. With a nothing. He created it all. He's the creator. Y'all think about that. Y'all think about that. He's the creator. The only one who's ever created anything, nothing else can say that. Nothing. So everything else is a created being. So how do you put a man, a spirit, an image, a statue, anything on the level with it? How do you do it? Whatever it is, whatever you're putting on the level with Christ, Christ created. Is that not crazy, y'all? Is that not, how do you get on the level with what made you? Different stripe. That different stripe. Sister. Sister. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's just who God is. That's how big God. And then you ain't seen nothing yet. It's the stuff we don't know. You think your mind blows now. That come on.
a lot of people, they worship the creation instead of the creator.
That's a fact, bro. That's a fact. I don't care what it is. If you worshiping it, you in the wrong. If it's not the creator, you're in the wrong. But the Bible said that's what man do. That's what man do. All right, now, fourth, y'all. Believers ought to be cautious about intuition, feelings, intuitive feelings. At times, a person may have a certain feeling regarding a certain issue or choice that contradicts previous thoughts. Such is the nature of emotional beings. Comments may be hard, such as, I just feel, heard, I'm sorry, such as, I just feel like that's what I should do. How many times we heard that, y'all? This is what I feel God's will. What you doing feeling God's will? That sounds crazy. How do you feel God's will? On the surface, one may quickly rush to the defense of these or similar pronouncements. As one follows this scenario further, the danger of allowing the emotions to become prominent in discernment of God's will is revealed. That's God deals with truth and error. Right and wrong. That's it. No emotions involved with God. While emotions do play a vitally important role as a final step of discernment in decision making, feelings should not be allowed to serve as a foundational decision point. It can't be. It can't be based on your feelings. It cannot be based on your feelings, because almost every time your feelings gonna lead you wrong. You got, when you got some skin in the game, things change. Things change. That's why we're seeing a lot of stuff we're seeing now. And I am not going to get into it, y'all, on the political front. But a lot of people, when they see things happen in the streets, they see their child out there. They see, you know, their neighbor's kid, their nephew, these type of things. And it could skew. Well, I see you can identify with this person, but did he do something wrong? Was he wrong? Did his decision put him in this situation? See, that's the right and wrong side of it. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be some grace given there, because it should. I got grace. If it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be here. So, yeah, I love to see people, but that don't change the right and wrong factor. Did they do any wrong? Because it's going to be sin, the wages of sin, y'all. And God said that. That's not me. God said that. Come on, sis.
Should not change for a believer.
Never.
even if they didn't do anything. You ought to be so foundated on the Lord. Until, and I don't know what she's done later, but I really admire Trayvon Mom's, the way she handled things.
Trayvon Martin Mom, yeah.
Yes. Mm. That lady, she could have started a riot. People were waiting. They were waiting in the wings spiritually to go off. But the way she spoke and left that alone and placed it in God's hand, and I believe she said it one or two times. And a lot of people got mad because they were ready. They were ready to do what they did in the other cities for the next death that happened. But God have proved black people. We worship our race more so than him.
That's right.
And I've had a blood relative. When she told me that, she told me I'm black first.
No, boy.
The Lord said, you don't argue with her.
That's right. That's right.
You don't cover. Then she said, pray for me. So they have made a conscious decision. But yes, all of this stuff, God is proving black people.
That's right. Absolutely.
He's proving us.
Absolutely.
And we're coming up lacking in the balance.
Yes, we are.
We
man.
Love ourselves so much. And my daughter said, it's really beautiful. We were eating one day. She said, Mom, I love my boys. They are black boys. And I could see, I feel sorry for the people. I could see how they could get so upset.
Yes,
because
yes.
they don't know Lord, the
That's
Lord.
Right.
She
That's
said,
right.
if I didn't know God, I would probably be saying the same mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why churches need to stop playing church.
Right.
It's not hard to go into the Bible and teach the Word of God.
That's right. That's
don't
right.
teach your feelings. Don't teach your opinion. How hard is it to just go into the Scripture
right.
and
not.
Teach the Word of God?
Right.
It would teach you.
That's right. That's right. And people, especially the black church, we need to really just step out of the social scene and preach the Word of God. And preach the Word. I mean, totally out. Let's not vote in these churches. Let's make this a house of prayer again. Period. Get everything that's not of God. Get it out of there. Let's get back to the basics and disciple our children, our neighbors. If we want to see some change in our community.
And that's the program. The program is spending time with the
same. Let me see your pen.
Wednesday, dog day, school day, Black History Day, all that junk we don't throw in the church is just ridiculous. We spend that time discipling people. You know, that should be the program in the church. But,
thank you.
You know, when you say things like that, they look at you like,
You one of them. That's what I told you. I was told that last week. I was asked a question, you know, political thing. And when the answer didn't come off like they wanted to hear, they said, oh, you one of them. And all I said was, if you referring to a Christian, then absolutely. I'm one of them. Praise God. By his grace, I'm one of them. You know.
My wife heard that statement that Biden made. He said, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. And I just laughed because, you know, it was such shocking.
To even to them,
me,
to him,
to
yeah.
him to
yeah.
hear something
yeah.
like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess I ain't black then.
Yeah.
I done found out I ain't black.
Yeah, yeah. But see, when you hear things like that, Milk, when you hear that, you can look at this one or two ways. That's God showing you. That's the group think thing. That affected a lot of people. Now, the way we look at it is, this clown telling me how to vote. But a lot of people took that to heart. And that's the reason I can't do, you know, and that's a sad thing. But it shows the state of our people. As individual thinkers, we haven't done that in a long time, y'all. It's been, and Minister Pierce did a sermon on that. We put so much stuff before, we put being black before anything else. And that's a sad affair. I don't agree with James Brown. I ain't black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm thankful. I mean, cause it's God. It don't mean any more than if, Would God not be God if I was Chinese or white or whatever? It's his choice. He chose the amount of melanin in my skin. Y'all ever seen a real white person? Y'all ever seen anybody walk around looking like glass? You can just see right through them. That's white. Everybody are people of color. Everybody are. But we have taken that and used it as a division point. in a society that we got to live with, ain't now one of us going nowhere. We ain't going back to Africa and they ain't going back to Europe. We stuck here. We going to have to get along some kind of way. So if we go, if they can use something like color to divide us and keep us fighting all the way to a point where we ready to kill each other in the streets. Right now. People, you can't, I'm trying to get ready to hunt y'all. Hunting season open up on the 21st of this month. And you can't find bullets nowhere. People, they ain't preparing for hunting. They ain't preparing for hunting, y'all. And no, not no deal. You right. And when you, find them to show you how this system, how Satan is, he done ran the price up so high, you might well buy a deal. Then you can't hardly buy them when you find, but that just goes to show you they've created an atmosphere where they can come in and take advantage, exploit the people once again. Once again. And that's a shame. I pray this whole thing go off without a hitch. That God really just calm this environment down. And we can start this by showing people what the love of God looks like. What the love of God looks like, y'all. Tell them the truth. Whatever you do, don't go alone to get alone. God will not, he will not accept compromise. Don't go alone to get alone, but show them what the love of Christ looks like. That's what we need. That's what we need to see in this culture. What everybody's hating and so divisive. We can show them as believers, as the body of Christ. If ain't nobody else together, we together. And we flying the same flag. The bloodstained banner. We under that flag and that's what unifies us. And not only that, if whosoever will, if you want some, you can get it. You can get it. See, that's where we need to stand today, y'all. Stand 10 toes down, solid. Don't be moved. Don't be scared off your mark. If God put you on that mark, they can't move you off it. They can't move you off it. But that's what we need. We'll pick up right there next week, y'all. Page 79. In the middle of the paragraph where it said Moses did not fear. Mark your page right there. 79. Yeah, we'll pick up right there.
Everybody got lesson 77.
I think 120 somewhere in there. Yeah. Yeah, people, we living in a unique time in world history right now. We making history, y'all. We are truly making history. We're not going along business as usual. This is a unique time.
Very unique.
Things are changing. The battle is raging. Have changed. It's still changing. But who are you fighting with? Who are you standing with? See, and your actions are taking.